Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
And we're back at it, another Saturday in CCO land, a wet one today, and thanks for joining us. I was looking, Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
I don't see Andy.
I know.
Is he taking a little traveling? Do we call it well-deserved time? Does he get well-deserved time off?
He's actually bringing his whole team. They went to somewhere in Mexico. So
no kidding. Yeah. Well, good for them.
Lucky guy.
Good for them. We have, not that our shows aren't usually special, but we have a very special show today.
Exactly.
For sure. What did you bring with
you
today?
Once we got rid of Andy, now we can bring in the real people.
It's really special.
Yeah, it works out really good. So,
well, tell us who our friends are.
Yeah, in the first half of the show, we've brought the boss man of Habitat for Humanity, Chris Coleman, on, former mayor of St. Paul.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so
good to see
Chris is here with us.
Good to see the mayor.
Yeah. Then Jen LaCroix is with us as well. What she does is the lending for Habitat for Humanity.
Okay.
So maybe, Chris, you can start and kind of just tell us what it's all about.
Well, you know, a lot of people know about Habitat for Humanity. They might have been out on a site with their company or their church building, you know, hammering away, whether they know how to hammer or not. Habitat for Humanity is in the business of helping people achieve the American dream of owning their own home. Folks for whom that dream was out of reach, but for the fact that Habitat was there and able to provide them a loan so that they could do that, working to help build their house, putting sweat equity into the house alongside the volunteers that join. And we've served over 1,200 families in the last 30-plus years.
Is that how long it's been around?
Well, Habitat Twin Cities, as it's constituted, Habitat for Humanity International has been around for many decades.
Wow.
Started many years ago down in Georgia, Americus, Georgia. Everybody thinks Jimmy Carter started it. He didn't.
He did,
but he's our number one volunteer. He and Rosalyn.
Sure.
It's an amazing organization that really truly changes the lives for the families that ultimately get a home through Habitat for Humanity.
Yeah, like you said, it's not just in Minnesota, the United States, but it's all over the place. I mean, we were talking before the show that, you guys are, it's Somalia, it's everywhere.
Well, it's a really interesting organization because people think it started just as in the United States, but it actually started building houses in what was then the Congo many, many years ago. And then someone in San Antonio, Texas said, hey, we'll help you build houses over, across the ocean. But we have a need here in our own community and then expand it to Florida. But it was a very organic process. So wherever there was, I said, two or more gathered in a church basement, they could say, well, we want to do that too. And so at one point, there were almost 2,000 chapters of Habitat for Humanity affiliates across the country. It's down now closer to 1,300. There are 28 affiliates in the state of Minnesota. It happens, though, that Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity is probably one of the largest in the country, certainly in the top five. We produce more homes. On average, we build or substantially rehab 50 homes a year. And in addition to that, we have now a new product where people can go out, work with a real estate agent, go out into the open market, work with Habitat to qualify for a Habitat-issued mortgage that makes it affordable for that family, and then they can go buy in the open market. So it's really expanded our ability to serve families. Last year, we went from our average of 50 to we closed on 92 mortgages last year. We hope to close on 110 this year, and we hope that grows in the future.
Now, Jen, that's the ones you deal with, right,
on the mortgages? That is my neck of the woods.
Yeah, so is there income requirements then for these mortgages? Or?
So Habitat for Humanity, our lending department is a fully owned subsidiary of Habitat, but we are a separate division, so we operate a lot like many of the lenders around the metro, with the difference being that we're really focused on the affordability gap right now in the Twin Cities, seven-county area. We do have lending requirements. They are a little bit different than your standard lender requirements, and at the same time, they hold true some of the same things that we're always looking for. At Habitat, we're looking for around a 620 credit score. We focus on first-time homebuyers. So Minnesota does a really good job with their first-time homebuyers. Around the country, we are the highest ranked for having homeownership here in Minnesota. However, we're falling, you know, just a little bit short for having a racial gap, that we've got 77% of our Minnesotans are white homeowners. We're only 24% are people of color. So that's an area that we focus on in our lending department. We've got a lot of the same requirements as most lenders, but we've got a lot of great things that most lenders don't have. I offer a 3% interest rate on our mortgages with no down payment and no MI, which is pretty huge. I see your eyes getting big, as they should.
What? Say that again. 3%, no mortgage insurance?
Chris is thinking of applying himself.
Right? He wants to know exactly what the requirements are. 3%, no MI.
So it's first-time buyer, though?
It is a first-time home buyer that I want living in the seven-county metro area.
Okay. But does that first-time home buyer, is that someone that just hasn't owned a home in like three years?
You got it. Yeah. Okay. That, you know, kind of the same as most of those lenders out there. We're looking for 620 credit scores. We work with folks at 580. The great part about Habitat is we have a couple of different ways that we bring people in. They come to my department after they've been through our intake and our financial planner department. So they meet with people. If they don't have that 620 credit score, we're going to get them there.
So credit scores are affected in different ways, you know, and obviously there's foreclosures and short sales that people might have had. Are they still eligible?
They are 3 years after foreclosure, about 2 years after bankruptcy, and we like to see some reestablished credit. So, you know, at Habitat for Humanity, with our lending team in place, we not only originate all of our own loans, we also service them. So at Habitat for Humanity, we're there at the beginning of the process and then throughout the process for our home buyers. And it's important to us that we are creating homeownership that is going to keep people in sustainable, affordable, safe housing. And in order to do that, we keep things going on the tail end of things with our servicing department as well. So again, we operate like a lot of lenders, looking for a 620 credit score. We want you living in the seven county metro for the past year, first time home buyer being in the past 3 years. So, you know, falling along the same lines as other lenders out there. I want you in the same line of work for about a year. That's probably the difference. We can't have any change of employment. And I know a lot of employers will let you change. We're kind of sticklers about the employment, depending, you know, each circumstance being different. And we do work hand in hand with Minnesota Housing. So in addition to our first subsidy being that 3% interest rate with no MI, then we work in tandem with Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity and Minnesota Housing, other places to pull in different subsidies. So if you come to me as a first-time home buyer, what we're finding right now is there's a huge affordability gap out, you know, in the seven county metro. The area median income, you know, for Twin Cities doesn't really support what our first time home buyers are paying for a home. We were up to $265 in February for our average home. It's pretty significant. It's a 6.2 jump from last year at this time. So what that means for every Minnesotan is $12,000 to $15,000 additional in purchasing a home. So when we're looking at this, we really focus on keeping our clients at 30% of their overall gross income that goes towards their mortgage payment. In doing that, sometimes we can't hit the market 3% interest, so we bring in and layer some subsidies. We do that through Minnesota Housing, Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity, different things that are available throughout the year, and we increase their purchasing power. So in addition to that great affordable mortgage, we're usually, like right now, my folks that are coming in, I'm throwing about an additional $35,000 in subsidies towards their offering price.
Oh, that's neat. I know we have to take a break, but just briefly before we do go, if you're just joining us, Chris Coleman and Jen LaCroix are in studio with Chris Rooney, and I want to ask Mr. Mayor, what got you into the Twin Cities Habitat?
Well, you know, as mayor, I was, you know, obviously focused in on how we could build a stronger community, how we could make sure that everyone in our community was thriving and our families were strong. And we looked at, you know, education, we looked at jobs, we looked at all of the things that make a family successful. But what it came down to was without that foundation of a home, without the knowing where you're going to sleep at night, a child can't do well in school unless they have that kind of stability in their lives that comes with home ownership. I mean, it can come with a rental unit, but obviously home ownership not only provides that stability, it provides equity that can grow over the years and provide, you know, for many of us, the only equity that we have, the only savings that we have is in our home. And so what I realized is all the things that we've been working on are so much built on the foundation of that stability of a home that I, you know, when given the opportunity to be a part of this, you know, this incredible mission of Habitat for Humanity, I jumped at the chance.
That's great. We'll continue with this story today here on the Real Estate Show on CCO. Stay with us. And good morning. Welcome back to our Real Estate Show here on CCO on this Saturday morning. In studio, if you just joined us, besides, well, Andy's taking the day off today. But Chris Rooney's in studio with former Mayor Chris Coleman and Jen LaCroix. We're talking about Twin Cities Habitat for Humanity. And Chris Rooney, before we broke, Chris Coleman was mentioning some statistics that kind of had me dumbfounded. Let's bring in the audience on this.
Yeah. Well, you know, the top five professions, the top five, the most in-demand jobs in the Twin Cities don't pay enough for that person to afford an average two-bedroom apartment in the Twin Cities. You know, so the cost of housing is just skyrocketing. Incomes haven't gone up. But if you think about, you know, if you went to the doctor's office and someone drew blood from you, that person's working hard. They're probably making somewhere in the $40,000, $50,000 a year range maybe. That person could work through Habitat for Humanity to buy a house, a truck driver, a school bus driver. Those jobs that, you know, people are working very, very hard, but, you know, for the average person, home ownership is unobtainable. So we're really working with employers. We're working to get the word out. We have a campaign called Buy with Habitat. You can go to the website buywithhabitat.org and begin the process to see if you're eligible for a Habitat mortgage. And if you are, that dream of owning a home that seems so out of reach for people becomes a reality.
Some of those people, those jobs you mentioned, aren't working just one job. They're multiple jobs in some cases.
They're working multiple jobs. Their spouse is working multiple jobs. You know, their kids are bringing, you know, this, you know, that's, you know, one of the kind of myths of Habitat is that we build houses and we give them to people. We don't give them to people. They have a mortgage. You know, as Jen has just outlined, the eligibility requirements for that mortgage. They not only have to pay the mortgage, but they also put money into a fund to make sure that down the road, if there's some repairs that need to be made to the home, they have they have resources for that. We set our families up for success. And as a matter of fact, we have less than a 1% default rate on the loans that we issue through Habitat for Humanity. That's unheard of.
That's fantastic. It is because
of the work that we do to make sure that our families understand what it means to be a homeowner. They go through training. They learn how to fix leaky toilets. They learn how to fix doors. It's all the things that my wife wishes I had learned how to do 30 years ago. Unfortunately, didn't. I'm learning a little bit now. That's the nice thing about the new job is I get to go out on site every once in a while and do some construction. But we really, it's an amazing organization that does incredible work. And helps those families that you can't believe when we turn over the keys to a house at our dedication ceremonies, those kids that are running around and saying, oh, my gosh, I have a bedroom. I have a place that I can do my homework in. This is my house. This is my yard. It is just about, you know, as much joy as you can have seeing that happen.
What was that website again,
Mr. Mayor? Buywithhabitat.org.
Buywithhabitat.org.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting when you talked about like putting money away and teaching them how to do maintenance and stuff. And that's what we're starting to find now that we're getting back into some short sales now. And what it was is everyone, you know, that purchased, you know, they bought it at the high time and they never put money into it because they always were underwater. And then what's happening now is with the short sales is that it's because of that deferred maintenance. If you don't take care of your house and that little leaky toilet turns into, hey, we have to redo that bathroom.
That's right.
Let's just forget that. Now, Chris Coleman, your wife also is in my little industry here.
She is. Yeah, she's at Connie's real estate agent over at the Edina office on Grand Avenue.
In St. Paul there.
In St. Paul. She's been there for over 15 years, I think it is now. And you know, as you, when I was getting out of politics at the time, of course, it didn't last, but, you know, she thought, well, since you aren't working weekends all the time, I might as well.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, Jen, so I, from a realtor on the other side, if I have a listing and your buyer's coming in and I see this pre-approval come across and it says all these things, I mean, I'm going to be like, I don't know about that. It seems too good to be true. You know, what's happening? I mean, how are you getting out to the realtors?
Well, interestingly enough, first, my pre-approvals, excuse me, look just like everybody else's. We're just like, you know, the same as everyone else's pre-approvals. But you're right. The minute they see Habitat for Humanity, I get a lot of phone calls. And I welcome that because I'm happy to educate everybody and proud of the work that we're doing. But we do an outreach program through Habitat the second Tuesday of every month. Same website you can go with to buy with Habitat and go onto our realtor page and register for that. So we also go out into a lot of the real estate offices and do a lot of outreach there and just do the presentation to really showcase what we have to offer as far as first-time homebuyers. And we work in tandem actually with a lot of other lenders as well. So, you know, everybody's always welcome at the table. There's always room for everybody, and what I can't do here at Habitat to help people, because we do have limitations. We are looking at capping out our purchase price at $328,200. So there's a lot of people that we aren't going to be able to help because perhaps they're over in income, and I can't do the financing on their mortgage. So that's kind of right now what we're working on as far as trying to educate folks and just get the word out for agents like yourself. That if they're interested, that's they really want to start with the buywithhabitat.org because we've got a great website set up that's pretty educational.
You've got a really good bank partner that's funding the mortgages as well.
Yeah, and you know, we work in tandem with Bremer, and again, we service all of our own loans. We actually work as well with Sunrise Banks, a local bank in St. Paul. They do a lot of our underwriting for us. So it's really a community effort that's coming straight from folks that live and work here in Minnesota as well. So it's really fun to be a part of that team.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I know we have to head out of here to our bottom of the hour break, but Mr. Mayo, give us that website again so people can find out more.
Buywithhabitat.org. Please go to the website and see if you're eligible. And just because you think that home ownership is unobtainable, it might be through Habitat for Humanity.
Pretty exciting for a lot of people.
It's a great service to the community.
Thank you both for all your great work.
Yeah. Thank you.
And all of your colleagues as well.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
good
you.
Deal. It's good to see you. Thanks for coming out on this rainy Saturday. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our real estate show. I was going to say Chris and Andy are here, but we do have Chris and Andy. We have Chris Rooney, but it's not the Andy that we know and love. It is, but it's
wow. I've known this Andy longer, though.
Wow, no kidding.
Yeah. Andy Hubble. Lie. Andy Hubble.
I didn't really mean that, Andy Hubble.
But no, we actually played baseball together in college.
Go Huskies.
First against each other, then with each other. So.
Right.
So you know a lot about each other.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. For another show, though.
Keep it quiet,
yes.
Andy.
All right. What are we going to chat about this time?
Well, I'll tell you what. We're talking about first-time buyers. Now we're kind of moving to the upper bracket buyers. And what happens sometimes in negotiations, and let's just say, I mean, it's funny because me and Andy were talking about it. He had a situation where agent had a listing, and it was, what was it, 600 and –
640,000.
Yeah, and he'd been getting some offers, but none of them came together. And then his highest offers were like
$599,000.
Yeah, like $599,000. And so, why don't you go ahead and just kind of say what you suggested?
Well, the interesting thing about that situation was that this was back in December, and I don't know if anybody remembers because, like all of us, our memories are short. But back in December, rates were over 5%, and you know, at that time, I had all kinds of buyers who I had pre-approved and things like that. But then you pre-approve somebody in the low fours, and then they spend 2 months looking at houses at 640,000 to use this as our example. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, rates are at 5.25 and your payment's going to be this. And they're like, what am I supposed to do now? Buy a house for 500 when I've been looking at houses for 2 months at 600. And the same is true whether you're looking at 285 or...
And that's what happened to the sellers.
That's what happened.
Is that their buyers got knocked out of their range.
Yeah.
And so now we've got a way to figure it out.
Was, you know, the buyers were like, look, we're coming in at the highest offers they were getting, and they had several of them, were at $599,000. And so we're talking, I mean, that's a $40,000 hit for your seller. You know, the buyers think about it as, well, my payment needs to be inside this box, which, you know, $40,000 on your payment might be, you know, whatever, $100. But to the seller, it's $40,000. So what we did was it's a strategy that's been around forever, but we haven't talked about it in years because rates have been so low. So, and it works no matter what the rates are. We did a seller buy down, and we, you know, I went to the listing agent who, you know, I didn't have anything to do with the deal, but the listing agent was a friend of mine who I work with, and I work with his clients. And I said, you know, what about this? And I laid it out for him. I said, you can, as a counter offer to the $599, you can offer to buy the buyer's rate down to 4.25%. So they bought the rate down 0.75%. I don't remember the exact numbers, but it cost the seller, I want to say, in the neighborhood of under $10,000 to do so.
So they were still able to pay them the $640, but they got the payment that they wanted.
They paid $640. They got the payment that they wanted. In fact, their payment was $75 less than if our sellers had agreed to sell them the house at $599.
Then some people might say, from a buyer perspective, saying, well, that's great for the seller. I mean, they're still making the $40,000. I want a better deal. But in reality,
right.
In the end, they're in the getting end, a lot better deal.
In the end, the bottom line is this, is that to use those numbers again, the bottom line is you're going to, you know, we're talking about these were folks who were putting 20 to 25% down. But regardless of the numbers, you're going to pay a lot less over time to borrow what you need at 640 at the lower interest rate. Because the way interest works and the way the amortization schedule works, the interest over time adds up. So at the end of the day, you pay 640 and you buy the rate down, you pay less for the house than if you had paid 599.
Exactly.
Paid market rate.
It's just a different way of looking at it.
It is.
You know, and we all are. We're like, we have a short memory, but
yeah.
We're also very short-sighted in saying that, you know what, that's 640. I need to get it for 600 to be able to get the great deal. But what you guys did is you structured a deal that, hey, it got the seller cleared out at around 630, you know, because they had to pay $10,000 those closing costs. But
yep.
Then yet save that buyer, got them another payment, and then over time that yeah. that $30,000 that they think they're, you know, between the 630 and the 600,
yeah.
that's going to probably triple.
Yeah,
probably
yeah.
90, 100,000.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean it's incredible, and you know, a lot of people. Like I said, like we were talking during the break, this isn't a new idea. I mean, buying down the rate's been around forever, but a couple things have happened in over the last, gee whiz, or since the early 2000s. I mean, once rates were in the sixes, but for the most part, rates have been historically low as long as I've been doing this, really. So it's not something that anybody has really talked about. And then you also have, you know, umpteen financial gurus on all the cable channels who are saying, well, you shouldn't buy points and it's foolish. And the truth is, if you're in an environment where rates are going down, you know, buying points probably isn't a very good idea. But at the same time, in this situation, this is something where the buyer wasn't buying the points. The seller was.
Yeah. And I think the other part is that people need to look at their own individual situation.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's a lot of people that are planning to stay in that house maybe 5 years, but they're yeah. getting a 30-year mortgage.
Yes.
You know, and that's yes. kind of silly, but they haven't been told or haven't been, you know, properly vetted, really.
Right. It is silly, and I run across that a lot. I mean, there's some people, I have buyers all the time, and I always ask that question, well, how long? There's two different questions, too. How long do you plan to be in the house? How long do you plan to have this mortgage? Most people, when they're getting ready to buy, they're not thinking about that. And then when they say, well, this is our first home or whatever the case may be, we're going to have this, we're going to be here, you know, no, 5 years, no more than seven. We yep. really should be talking about doing an ARM. But so many people, especially after all the publicity for the meltdown and for good reasons, there were some really ugly ARMs that were done back in those days. But the ARMs that are there now, conventional ARMs, are great products. But you say ARM to people and their hair starts on fire
totally.
And they run out of your
because
office.
They think it's going to switch every day.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the reality is,
it's just about explaining how it works. Yeah,
there's adjustable rates that don't switch for 7 years.
Right.
You know, 10 years, 5 years.
Right.
So I know people don't understand it, but I think the other thing is too, let's just say someone's going in new construction home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they didn't finish the basement, didn't finish the deck, mm-hmm. but that's what they were planning on going to be doing later
right.
on. I mean, that's another mortgage all in itself. I mean, from a lender perspective, you need to know all of that information to be able to help them.
Absolutely.
Do that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, like I have people who I'm working with a client right now who's considering buying a property with a renovation loan. We kind of in the industry, we now kind of laughingly refer to it as the HGTV loan, you know, because that's what it is.
Totally.
I mean, you go in and you buy it. I mean, everybody loves those shows. I love them. But even my wife would turn to me when we're watching, you know, the Magnolia couple down in Austin, who's my particular
favorite. Chip and Joanna.
Yeah, Chip yeah. and Joanna, yeah. right. Their names are escaping me. But and my wife would turn around and say, well, how do you pay for that? I mean, so I start explaining it to her, and of course her eyes glaze over, and she's like, all right, the show's back on. Stop talking. But yeah, I mean, those renovation loans can be very useful, too, if you're looking at a certain type of property.
Yeah, and those are ones that, I mean, there's certain requirements in there.
There are.
First of all, you have to use a contractor, so you can't do it on your own.
Yeah, you're not doing sweat equity. You're using a contractor. The contractor, and you can't just say, and I went through this with my client the other day. He's like, well, I know a contractor, and he's great. I said, okay, we'll call him up and ask him if he's ever worked with renovation financing, because there are some hoops he's got to jump through that he might not like. So that's part of it, too. And then this time of year, especially in our climate, it can be you might have a contractor. It's like, yeah, I'll do it for sure. I can start working November 1st because I'm booked until then.
Yeah.
And that can be a problem. Yeah. But, I mean, there's no problem that you can't get by. It's just about figuring out how to do it.
And I think sometimes in the industry, I mean, these renovation loans are actually a good way in which to buy a property that's maybe been sitting for a while.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone's jumping at the first ones that come on, and they're all the Chip and Joanna houses, and they're grabbing them all.
Yep.
But you can make Chip and Joanna, you know, but it might not just have the prettiest look right now. But these renovation loans could be able to get that, because some people,
right. Hey,
I don't have the money to do it after the fact.
Right, right. And that's the thing, too, is that you have to finance it. Not a lot of people say, well, I can buy it and get a loan and then spend X to fix it later.
Yeah. And Denny, before we go to break, I want to tell people that all our guests now, I got them. You always ask, hey, how do you get all the people?
Yeah, yeah.
So we did WCCO Real Estate Show. If you go to that, WCCORealEstateShow.com, you'll find out all about the Habitat for Humanity. And then you'll get Andy's information, too, and it talks about everything that we went on.
Another future guest, too,
yeah,
as we
exactly.
have. Oh, good. And again, that's WCCORealEstateShow.com.
Wait a minute. You guys have other guests? I thought it was just – you told me it was just me.
Not today. All right, let's take this break. We'll have more show to come here on CCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our real estate show here on News Talk A30 WCCO. Chris and Andy here, but not the Chris and Andy, if you're just tuning in late,
yes.
That you normally hear here.
He talks as much as that other Andy, though, I think.
But he makes sense.
Well, here's a shout-out for Andy Prasky, because, and I don't even know Andy, but when I put it on Facebook, you know, so that people would know and listen, you know, my friends or whatever, one of my baseball cohorts from North Hennepin, not from St. Cloud, texts me back right away, and he goes, is this the Andy Prasky show?
Oh.
They called it the Andy Prasky show? Oh,
I think geez. He just said, is this with Andy Prasky?
Oh, okay.
I'm the one who called it the Andy Prasky.
But this
show.
Is another
so
Andy.
I apologize.
Yeah. This is Andy Hubble with Amec Home Loans.
Yes.
He's been a lender in the here of the Twin Cities. For how long?
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
17 years?
17 years. And we're talking seller buy down, and we talked about it in the last thing. But let's get some real numbers here.
Okay.
I know we put on that WCCO Real Estate Show.
Yep.
We've actually got the example here that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot of numbers here. And as I was joking with Chris over the break, this is great radio, just talking about numbers over and over, because everybody at home is – but and so the one we put up on the website is an example for a $500,000 purchase. But the truth is these numbers bear out regardless of what price point you're at. So if you've got a $500,000 listing, and let's just say – you know, if you're the listing agent, Chris, and it's not moving, all
yep.
right?
It's listed at 500,000. Nothing's
right.
happening.
So I'm a buyer, and I come in and I say, you know, I talk to my agent. I'm like, look, they've been on the market for a while. It's not listing. Let's offer them 475. So for your client, the lister, that's going to cost them $25,000.
Correct.
So as a counter, what you could do is say, look, my seller can't go that low. But here's what we can offer: we will buy down the rate for your buyer. You still pay $500,000 for the house full price, but we're going to give you and buy down the rate from 4.5, which is where the rates are now, down to 3.75. So what that does is it lowers the payment. Instead of lowering it $100, if you sold me the house for $475, then my payment would be $100 less than if I paid full price, $101. Now I'm going to pay full price, but you're going to help me buy down the interest rate from 4.5 to 3.75.
Right.
My payment just went down $174.
Oh, wow.
So my payment's $74 lower. And instead of costing your client $25,000, it only costs them $8,000. So it's a win for both sides.
Right.
It's a way to bridge that gap.
So how does that buyer end up kind of feeling really good about it?
Yeah, and I get that question a lot. I'm like, well, that's great. The payment is very important, obviously. But I don't want to overpay for the house. Well, first of all, I mean, your realtor has done his due diligence, okay? So it's always going to be a range. But the bottom line is, in this scenario, over the life of the loan, on 30 years, if you pay $500,000 at 3.75, you're going to pay $46,000 less in interest than if you bought it for $475 and paid $4.5.
Yeah, but no one stays in those mortgages for 30 years.
But most of that savings is in the first 10 years.
Explain
because we
why
all
is
know,
that?
Well, when you amortize a 30-year loan, okay, the interest is all front-loaded. If you look at an amortization schedule, you're paying almost, well, not almost all of it, but you're paying a good chunk of it in the first 10 years. So most of that savings is in the first 10 years. And I do these analysis for clients, and I'll go, you know, we'll go deep and down the rabbit hole, and I'll show them the numbers. And if anybody wanted to see it, I can show them.
That's good stuff. Are you interested, Denny?
Yeah, this is. I mean, there have been a lot of numbers here, but they're. You know, my eyes have not glazed over. Interesting stuff.
My wife's asleep right now. She's like, "Oh, here he goes again."
But it is. It's another way, and I mean, and that's also called marketing and getting with good people that know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
And then it makes sense of it, you know, and that's what we have to do as realtors. We got to be able to sell that, and you know, in the end, I think everything you said is right on. From actually on both sides of it too,
right?
Is that kind of like, hey, you know what? No, I don't want to overpay for that house. But what are you doing? I mean, a lot of people buy a house at $200,000 and say, hey, I want closing costs. We have to add them up on top, you know. Right. So it's $206,000.
Right.
Well, maybe that house isn't worth $206,000 because they would have taken $200,000 if you'd pay your own closing costs. So lots of different ways in which to play this.
Yeah, there are. I get this question too, because there are scenarios where, you know, this might not work. Only because there has to be, you know, somebody has to give something, you know.
Yeah.
If you're like I get a lot of clients who come in first time home buyers especially, and if we know already, hey, if I'm going to buy a house, I have the down payment, but I need the seller to pay my closing costs for me.
Right.
Well, okay. I mean, there's only so much money that the seller's going to part with. But a lot of the times with this, and especially when the rates were up, like back in December, rates were at 5.25%. The analogy I use for rates is like gas prices. They pop up, and if your gas tank's full, you're like, wow, gas is at $2.90. I'm not buying it. But if your gas tank's empty, you got to get gas. It doesn't matter. And when people need to buy a home, they need to buy a home.
Yep.
So, you know. There's ways to make that work.
And we're seeing interest rates. They are. They're playing kind of all over the place. They're kind of moving up and down a little. But actually, real strong, though, right now.
Oh, very strong. Very strong. You know, back in December, they were – and it's not like they shot up over 5. It was a slow crawl up to 5. And most of the stuff, most of the you know, the pundits, you know, like Inman and everybody else, and we're still early in 2019, but most everybody in the industry kind of thought, okay, in 2019, we're going to be in the 5s. And then everything kind of happened with China and the trade deal, and there's a lot of uncertainty with the financial markets worldwide, and all of a sudden rates start to come down. And now they're back down in the mid to low 4s. How long are they going to stay there? I don't know. It's hard to say. But for now, it's pretty consistent.
Yeah. Nope. That's true.
You know, you both guys have been in the business for a while, and given the internet, and I know there's a lot of misinformation you can find there too, but do you find your respective clients are more aware now? Are they – I don't want to say make it easier for your jobs to get it done, the sales and the purchases and the mortgages. And are they smarter, I guess is the word, more informed?
I think so, definitely. I think what has happened in the real estate industry is that you're showing them a lot less houses now. I mean, from a buyer standpoint.
Right.
You know, because they're doing a lot of their deciding on the internet and saying, nope, I don't want that. Let's go look at these.
Right.
So they've already seen those. So that's a big thing. I mean, showing 30 houses to a client in the old days was nothing.
Right.
I mean, showing 10 to someone now is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we had to show that many houses.
Right, because they can weed down the choices themselves. And on the lending side, I definitely think people are smarter, but there also is some misunderstanding because there's so much information that just gets thrown at people. And when you think about especially what you see on the internet about interest rates, and I get this from clients a lot, you know, we're 4 or 5 days from closing, and they're like, oh, I saw on the internet that rates should be, you know, X. I'm like, yeah, but, you know, don't forget, you only put 3% down and this and that, and we're doing this. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So whoever, you know, your lender is and whoever you're working with, you just got to figure if, you know, it's okay to say, well, this is what I heard, but then listen to their answer.
Yeah, and I think everybody's situation is different.
Absolutely.
And it's everyone's, oh, I want the lowest interest rate I possibly can get, but kind of think about the whole situation and kind of where you're going with it, and then you know, pick the program that's best for you. Yep. And I think that's what a good lender does. It
absolutely
evaluates that, asks questions, he or she asks questions to be able to find out, you know, hey, this is probably the best route for you to go. Ultimately, it's that client's decision and what they want to do.
Yeah,
but at least they have the decision.
Yeah, and what I always do with every client as well is I do a total cost analysis, which is just kind of an in-depth. Here are your options. They're going to be in writing. You're going to see them side by side. And then, you know, typically speaking, the best option for you is going to jump right out at you.
All right, you know what? We're just about out of time. Should we do our usual close and say, how do we get in touch with each one of you?
Well, we're going to that WCCO Real Estate Show.
Okay, for sure. WCCO. All right, let's do it again. What is it again?
WCCO Real Estate
Show. One word.
Yep, it's Real Estate Show.
WCCO Real Estate Show.com.
Yep. And Mr. Hubble with Amec Home Loans.
Amec Home Loans.
People get a hold of you.
I can be reached by email at andy@andyhubble.com.
That's two B's and two L's.
Hubble is two B's and two L's, not like the telescope. Yep. andyhubble.com.
All right, very good. Awesome. We have to head out of here. We'll have more show next week. We hope you join us then.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.